Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I think I've gotten it down to about 18 seconds. I can take that thing down. It's unbelievable. We got the new one, still playing with it. It's unbelievable. I love the little clip on to your shirt that you can kind of run the machine from. It's awesome. My son loves that one. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're sick of Zoom calls, if you're sick of, you know, diving everywhere and looking for what you need, our roadmap will help you become a better basketball coach. There's lots of great resources out there, but a lot of them are run by people that are college coaches or aren't teaching stats all day and then jump into the gym and have to deal with the everyday things 24/7 that a high school coach or a youth coach has to deal with. So come over, let me help you become a better basketball coach, teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast. You know, and then I'll walk into the locker room sometimes and it's like, man, you know, like no one's watching right now, but why is all this stuff all over the locker room? And then, you know, it's like, who's going to, you know, and I think it's so important for culture to build leaders and people.
Players.
Yeah. And they don't, and coaches always say it, but kids don't know what that means. You know, they don't know what a leader, you know, a leader not only worries about themselves, but others. And you know, you're always, you know, it's how you speak to people. So I literally have to teach some of my guys, like, how are you communicating with your teammates during the game is going to matter. You know, how you know, they always tend to be confrontational rather than, I said, you can get your point across that maybe Johnny's not boxing out, but it's how you tell Johnny he's not boxing out. And it's like, you just yell at him, box out, he's not going to do it. You know, and then we talk, we do all sorts of building things like that in our program, but, you know, I think that's one of the big things for culture, for me at least. I want you to know
right. What
we're really about. Yeah.
We had a culture in New York that if you got beat off the dribble two times in a row, you had to sub yourself out. And if you didn't sub yourself out, one of your teammates was gonna be like, man, sit your down. Like, you're killing right. us. Like, Teaspoon would be like, she'll come up and be like, see, Rob, you killing us, sit down.
Right.
So that was a culture that we held each other accountable. And if you're hurting the team, you have to be okay with removing yourself and letting somebody, because if you really want to win, put somebody else. But I was taught that. And that's what's so important with culture. This is, for me, the reason why we couldn't win in Dallas. And that might get better now that Vicky Johnson's there.
Right.
The culture, people have to adhere to that. And if you don't have a culture, and people are running amok. In Dallas, we didn't have a culture. So your culture changes with every coach. And as an organization, It's hard to be consistent if the culture changes every time the coach changes. The culture should remain, the Lakers culture is the Lakers culture with Jenny Buss and the Busses. That's their culture. It ain't the head coach's culture. So right. when the head coach comes in and creates a different culture every single time, if he has good culture, the organization's on an upslide. As soon as that culture changes, then it becomes a roller coaster. If you adhere to the coach's culture, the organization has to have its own culture that people and the coach adhere to. That's how I feel about it. Or it's really hard to be successful. You can be successful if the coach has a great culture.
It's the whole Pat Riley disease of me too is such a big thing. Like, I'm telling you, one bad apple will just eat away at your team too. You can just see the culture just disintegrate. I know. I love that. I love that analogy though. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So tell me a little bit about your book.
Finding myself. I wrote a book about a memoir about my life, and I just think that the book is about basically my struggles, and not to say woe is me or my struggles is different than yours. It's to say everybody has struggles. You know, I'm a professional athlete, and all you guys are like, ooh, you pro, you so lucky, you made it. But none of y'all know what I had to go through to get here. Very few people understand how hard it is to be a pro athlete. I know that people see the extravagant side of the life, but people don't know that for 20 years, I never saw my family because I played in Europe 3 days back in the WNBA, 4 days back to Europe. And the men, they play over 100 games a year. They're gone all the time.
Right. Well, you said something earlier too, and I've talked to Wesley about it. It's a business, people. Business. Like, you're going to work. Now, is it a fun job? Does it have fringe benefit? Absolutely. And you get paid, compensated for it really pretty well? Yes. But
you can lose your job from it too if you're not doing it very well.
Right. If you don't produce, you're gone.
Yeah, you're gone.
Right. Right. I don't think people. So tell me the process of writing a book. How did that work?
Well, I wrote the book. I didn't just sit down and write a book. I wrote this book 15 years ago, and it started out journaling. I was in Europe, and one of the first things you learn when you go to Europe to play is you have a lot of time by yourself, a lot of time with your own thoughts.
Okay.
A lot of the things you start to think about your life and all these different things. And I just started writing things down, good things that happened to me, bad things that happened to me. And I just felt a whole sense of release after that. So I've got all these things together. And I had a friend that wrote for the Amsterdam News in New York, and her name's Lois Elfman. And I emailed it to her and I said, what do you think about this, Lois? She read it and she said, Crystal, that would be a fantastic book. You got to organize it though, because it was very unorganized. It was just thoughts. So that's how the book came about. And then 15 years later, I decided to publish it just because it tells a lot about my family, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think so many of us are just ashamed of things that we shouldn't be ashamed of. Who doesn't have problems? Who doesn't go through things? And we spend a lot of our time hiding those things. And as a kid, that's what I did. And as an adult, I figured my story could help people and help them say, you know, you're not alone. And you can go through just about whatever. If you really want to make it to where you're going, you can still get there.
I love that. So is it, okay, so a couple things. First of all, I'm assuming it's everywhere where books are sold.
Amazon, you can get Amazon. It on Amazon.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will put that down in the show notes for people mm-hmm. listening. That's the first thing. Second thing, did you read the book? Did you do the Audible part of it?
What do you mean, did I read it?
Did you do a book on tape kind of thing?
Oh, no, we haven't got that yet. That is our next thing. Right now, we're getting in all of the major bookstores.
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
On Audible after that. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's what I'm saying. Because
I self-published. I self-published because all the publishing companies wanted to give me pennies and then take all of the percentages.
Oh, it's crazy. Publishing's like, we could do a whole podcast on publishing. It's a crazy.
Yeah. So I've self-published. So.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will put that out, but no, what the reason I asked that is I love reading, but I'm getting older and I read now and I fall asleep. So I tend to listen to books a lot.
I promise you this, if you read my book and you fall asleep, I'll come and do whatever kind of clinic you want and bring along a really high profile pal, because everyone has read this book, has read it in one sitting. And they say they laughed, they cried, they related, So if you get that book and you read it and you fall asleep, don't read it while you're in the bed though. Don't read it while you're in
the problem is I read. That's the problem is I read right before I go to bed, and it's like.
But that's your sleeping mechanism.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Actually, it is one of those things. But I will. I'm gonna definitely get it, and I will put that down in the show notes. All right. So I'm gonna put you through what I refer to as my rapid fire. So I'm gonna ask you a bunch of really quick questions. Some of them will be quick. Some will be not as quick. What's your favorite brand of basketball? The actual ball you play with?
Bodden.
And why?
I like the way it feels in your hands. And it comes off your fingers a little different. Okay. The cushiony balls that have just a little cushion in them, I like those balls. I feel them better anyway.
Yeah. Everyone that I've interviewed that's a player, it's all about feel. It's all about feel. And now I know.
Slick balls, like the NBA ball, the Spalding ball, it's really slick. Like if you grab that ball, if you catch it, it's hard and slick. It don't stick to your fingers. It slips off your fingers a little bit.
Yeah, I know. And shooters want, I know.
I want that little stick. I want it to stick to my fingers right till I gets ready to leave. I don't want it slipping because then I don't know where it's going.
Because especially if you're sweating and all that, it's like, I 100% agree. One word to describe your ideal player.
Defensive minded.
Okay. One sporting event. If you go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be?
Wimbledon. I played tennis in college also.
I've never been to Wimbledon. I was actually in London when Wimbledon was going on. I wish we'd have gone. Your favorite pregame or postgame meal?
I'm very, very routine. So it'd be pasta and chicken. Like, I don't think I ever really broke that. And I was superstitious too. Like, not to Jackie Styles' level of superstition. Anybody knows her? Like, if she tied her shoes a certain way, she would tie it 3,000 times before the game that way. Like, she had to do things the day before exactly how she did them. Like, but I usually just stick with pasta and chicken. It's just easy.
I don't think superstitions are bad. I always say they're about routine, not superstitions. But what's one thing you do to relax?
That's something I really need to work on. I don't relax much, but probably I'd say spend time with my family is probably the most relaxed I am.
Okay. One coaching technique you think's important?
Don't yell all the time. And I had to learn that. I think I almost gave myself an aneurysm as a young coach, because you don't know how to. I didn't understand. I couldn't do it myself. And my frustration level with them would be high because we'd practice it so much. And I just didn't understand why they couldn't get it. And right. I yelled a lot. Now, when you're working with really high profile driven athletes, yelling at them don't bother them because they're already beating themselves up.
Right.
But the kids that you really need to get the most out of, yelling sends them into a shell. I learned to stop yelling. That's the best thing I learned, I think.
Well, I mean, here's what I would tell young coaches that are listening too, is like, they'll tune you out. If you're always yelling at them, it's from a parent. Yeah.
They just stop listening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they just tune you out. So when I could probably on one hand the number of times I yelled in the last season. And when I do, it's like their eyes are like the size of like saucers. It's like, whoa, coach is not happy. Like
it's more effective when you do it less. I have a lot of looks. Some people, I just look at them like with this look like, why did you do that? And they're like, oh gosh, coach is looking at me crazy. That's my first warning. Like, I don't even get it, but I'm not going to say nothing about it. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let it slide.
I know. The nonverbal stuff's great. In our gym, we still have bleachers, which are like the old ones. And I'll put my left heel into the bleacher and just kick it. I won't even say anything. I'll just kick it. And they'll hear the bleacher and they'll go, oh, crap, coach is mad. I won't even say anything.
Yeah.
No. They turn it over. I'll whack the bleachers with the back of – I'll be sitting down probably and like they just know that, oh, coach, he ain't happy.
And they're in the locker room making fun of you too. That's what's so funny because when I was in Seattle, like I walked in the locker room one time and they were all just, they didn't know I was even coming in there, but coaches, to me, I think that's one of the things I do miss the most about playing is the locker room camaraderie. Like you always make fun of your coaches, like how they yell at you and, you know, it's like, and it's so funny because I walked in on them doing that.
Hey everybody, hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please subscribe, like, jump up and down. Tell us how great we are with
Basketball Coach Unplugged, wherever you listen to them, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Podcast, Castify. There's all sorts of them, Anchor. We would love those. We read every one of those. Also, go over and check out ttubes.com for coaches who want to get better. I'm challenging you right now. I would first of all challenge you that there's not another membership site like ours where, you know, you can ask my members, you call, you email, I respond like that because this is my thing. I love doing this. Also, go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops with Jake and I, once a week, and Teacher Side Gig. So especially for those teachers out there that are looking, can hear other teachers that are doing similar things and keeping the lights on in their houses. So let's head back to the podcast.
Funny story, like they were making fun of me because the WNBA had put one of those things on their site of Sue Bird's first points in the WNBA. It was against me.
Okay.
I wasn't even guarding her. I was guarding the four. She comes off a pick and Spoon yells switch and I take her and she scores, right? So they're all laughing about Sue Bird scoring. Oh, Sue did you? And they're all laughing and they all laughed. And I just sitting there and I said, when y'all get done, I got something to say. And they all got quiet and it's like, what you got to say? And I said, Sue was 22 when she was doing that to me. She's 40 and she's still doing it to you 22-year-olds. So what does that say about you? And then Sue just fell out laughing and the whole locker room went crazy. So, you know, and I think that as an assistant coach, you've got to have that kind of camaraderie. You'd be able to laugh at those things with
them. Yeah, you know? I know. And for the young coaches, their assistants, good. You need good cop, bad cop too. So you can definitely have a different relationship when you're the assistant. It's like being the fun uncle. You can be the fun uncle because you're not the parents that have to go, you know, the head coach or the parents. Describe your perfect player in 5 words or less.
Smart, hardworking, great vision, great leader, great shooter.
You can tell you're a shooter. I love that you did smart first. Best basketball player you have seen in person.
Does it mean girl or boy? Does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
I can't ever say not LeBron. LeBron. LeBron okay. And Enrique. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lot to say because Diana Taurasi is probably my all-time favorite player. Like, and I played against her a lot, and she's not anything fun to play against, but I just respect how good she is. But Enrique Agumbawale is still a different beast than Diana. Like, okay. Enrique scores the ball. Not that, you know, Diana makes, and I would say, and their ability to make big shots is really close to each other. But Enrique is just something different, a monster. And Diana is pretty unbelievably special herself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a stats teacher, so they're not normal. They're abnormal. They're just so unique.
The only reason I would take Diana, because I'm definitely a numbers person. Diana's consistency, she don't got to take 30 shots to score 30 points. Enrique's a volume scorer. When it's going for Enrique, it's great. But when it ain't going for Enrique, you better take her out and set her down because she ain't going to stop shooting. We had a game. Enrique was 0-25. Press tore up. The next day, she was like 13-20. Like, you know, she didn't waver. She just came back and played better.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what the good ones do. Who's the best player of all? Oh, I said, what's your most basketball used resource?
Other coaches. I have no problem with reaching out to other coaches. Like I have no, I don't have an ego. When you have an ego, you stop getting better.
Yep.
I don't care if I'm learning from a third grade coach or a pro coach. I reach out to other coaches. I have no problem with saying, hey, I don't know that. Or I need help with this. Or can you help me or teach me this? I have no problem with that.
I think Jay Billis just said it I think I just saw it on Twitter recently that he basically said some of the best coaches in the world are at the high school or junior high level.
Agreed.
They just don't get the notoriety of like the, you know, the big boys. And it's like, I can tell you, I can list off 10 high school coaches that are like crazy good that I know could coach at the collegiate level easily.
Oh, but agreed.
For whatever reason, that they're not. It's like,
it really ain't coaching.
Go ahead.
It really ain't coaching at the collegiate level. That's the problem, is being able to deal with the Taliban rules and all of the NCAA stuff around coaching.
Right.
To me, in men's basketball, is just going through this recruiting process with my nephew, it's a different beast.
Oh, it's crazy. The collegiate level
going on, it's crazy. Like, it's just really insane.
Yeah, if you walk into a men's AAU tournament and you walk into a women's AAU tournament, they're like night. I mean, literally, people are chasing all this money. It's the money, to be honest with
Jackson,
you.
My nephew won the EYBL 16 or 17 and unders. He played for Team Griffin. And you go to those games, you know, you got Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, all those guys are on the – you can't even get a seat in that place.
Right.
You go to one of those. That is big, big business, big money.
Big money. Big money. I always – follow the money. I always say people follow the money. do you – best game you've seen in person?
Best game I've seen in person. I've played one of the best games I've played in. I didn't see it, but it was when Teaspoon made that shot. Teaspoon in the finals against the Houston Comets. She made a shot from the three-point line on the other end of the basket. Everybody, and when she did that, I scored 24 straight points by myself to get us back in that game. Spoon made that shot, and nobody remembered I scored 24 straight points on Cheryl Swoops. Like, and you know, that's a brag right there, because Cheryl was just an athletic, fast, long. Like, she was just long. I mean, she's 6'2", I'm 5'11". Like, it was just a phenomenal game.
Man. Favorite quote or saying?
My favorite quote, and I've used this for a long time now, and I just got to make sure I say it right. It's an excellence quote, and it is, excellence is the result of caring more than others think wise, risking more than others think safe, dreaming more than others think practical, and expecting more than others think possible.
Ooh, I like that. All right, people listening, rewind, hit the 30 seconds back on the podcast and listen to that again. Let's see. I think I'm about done here. One thing you tell your younger self.
One thing tell my younger self, it would be, never let someone tell you can't do anything. Follow your dreams, and regardless of what anyone says, put blinders on and go full speed ahead.
I know, I love that.
Yeah. I think the saying is, if you shoot for the stars, you might land amongst the moon or something. Something like that. That saying.
Yeah. What I say is, you live your true life is what I tell my students. It's like, don't live anyone else's. Don't be 70 years old and look back. Live your true life. Live your dreams. It's like, it's hard.
And don't compare yourself to other people. I think that's one of the biggest things that I teach kids when I did teach school, is that your success and their success is going to look completely different. Y'all are two different people with two different skill sets. He might be a professional athlete. You might be a doctor. You're successful in your own same ways, but don't judge yourself and your on other people's successes.
I love that. So I have two questions left. Okay. One of them is, one book you would recommend. I'm going to say it's Finding Myself, so you don't have to answer that one. So you go get Coach's book. So I know you listed some other ones, but whatever. I think you listed Calhoun's book, or what did you
list? Yeah, the 17 Undisputable Laws of Teamwork. It comes with a workbook that I used at JUCO to test it out. And it's just amazing to me to how many kids have not been actually really been exposed to some of that stuff, and even goal building things. Like, you learn exactly how much your kids know with 17 Undisputable Laws and where to start and what you need to build. It's a preseason read, so you learn a lot about them and their mindset on how they set goals and how they're motivated. And then it gives you a measuring stick.
I love that. I might have to do that this season. All right. So here's the last question I ask everyone on the podcast is, what if you could just give one bit of advice to the listeners that tend to be younger coaches, What advice would you give a younger coach?
I would say ask as many questions as you can. Have a growth mindset. Don't have a fixed mindset, because this game changes, the ups and downs of it. It's just, and if you have a fixed mindset, you're going to be frustrated a lot.
Yep.
You know, and I would say, the more you don't be caught up in winning and losing, like, especially if you're a younger coach in grade school, learn to build relationships. Be very intentional on building relationships, because if you really want to lead somebody, you better have a relationship with them that you can lead them in all situations. They trust you when it's good, and when you have to be hard on them, they know you're doing it from a place of love. And you're going to have to get on your players, and how they bounce, how quickly they bounce back is very dependent on how you give them that message.
I mean, I don't really have much to add to that. And I've said this more than once. You have to love them first, and they have to love you first if you're going to win. Like, all the teams that I've been, all the state championships I've won, it's because they would literally run through a wall for me because they loved me, and I loved them too. I was doing everything I could to help them win. It is, to be honest with you, and I've said this, Coach, if you describe your favorite coach of all time, you're not going to describe X's and O's. You're going to describe how they made you feel.
Exactly. And you know you're doing it right as a coach when you get a team that wants to win for you. They just don't want to let coach down. They want coach to feel good. You know you are coaching, and you're giving those players, kids, grown-ups, whatever that they need when they play for you from that place. You're giving them the right amount of love.
You are. Coach, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it. This was great.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. And I will make sure that we put Finding Myself down below so people can find that book. And then Coach is gonna hopefully you'll read it too. Because you, I'm telling you, you have a great voice for it. I would love to listen to that.
I couldn't be a hometown recruiter because you gotta watch. I mean, commentator, you got to water it down. Your job is to make the team look good. And I feel like it hurt my credibility when they were just doing dumb things and I had to try to make it look good.
I know.
My partner would be like, say something, and I would push the button so they couldn't even. I'm like, what do you want me to say? I don't have nothing positive to say right now. Like,
they suck, man. I can't say anything.
Who lets Diana Taurasi have 13 open threes and thinks she's going to miss them? Like, that was when the Dallas Wings used to be the Tulsa Shock, and they hired Nolan Richardson. And Nolan didn't believe in scouting in the pros. I was like, okay, Nolan.
You might want to do that. That might be a good idea. Hey, Coach, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Hey,
everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you love it and you want to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as we talk. Subscribe, like, jump up and down, do whatever you got to do. Those Apple podcasts mean a lot to us. I read every one of them. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.